You're listening to 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
Watching a pair of blackbirds more. 4 and 20 blackbirds perched on the mill house floor. One blackbird to the other, you must be my queen. So one blackbird to the other says, so you must be my queen. Well, the other replied in turn, well, sure enough, you're my king. 4 and 20 blackbirds and 2 began to sing. Queen, she sang of Millhouse rising to the sky. Sang of riches baked in a honey pie. Stick your finger in and taste it on the sly. Sing a song of sixpence and a pocket full of rye. But now the queen, she asked that question, what makes a mill house rare? The king replied in turn, well, tonight it's you so fair. 4 and 20 blackbirds that you bake themselves to care. Fly away, you dainty dish, or 2 blackbirds flew upstairs. When that sun had risen, yeah, the rhyming, it was through. 4 and 20 blackbirds had rhymed that whole night through. Fly away, 2 blackbirds with nothing left to prove. Behind the lonesome heart astray. Pity not that blackbird, the blackbird who must stay, for having tasted blackbird pie baked and on display.
That's music from Eric McCune with Blackbirds. In another edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. Streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all things animal. Before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stirring edition of the Serena Sharp Show. And I'm delighted to be filling in for her next week on her slot, 8 to 9 a.m. So it'll be 2 hours next week of Talking Animals. And here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. This is just seventh installment of Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have terrific guests, including Ralph Helfer, legendary figure of the animal world and pioneer in the area of affection training, fantastic veterinarian Dr. Mary Sebsta, who addressed the controversial recent Consumer Reports article on vet practices and prices. We've also chatted with Deanna Foff-Martin, who founded two wonderful Newport Beach-based organizations that collectively help rescue cats and dogs, function as sort of a foster care adoption agency, and help cover all the various costs, vet, food, and otherwise involved in that process. We also spoke with Greg Ginn from the legendary punk rock band Black Flag, whose chief passion is helping rescue feral and other homeless cats. In fact, he agreed to do two Black Flag reunion concerts at the Hollywood Palladium in September, under the condition that the shows are benefits for several different cat rescue organizations. We also featured a conversation with a filmmaker whose company, Tribute Films, has developed a subspecialty that involves making films about the animals that live with us, so-called pet tributes, the wonderfully named Sebastian Doggart. And last week, we spoke with Jane Cartmill of San Diego Animal Advocates, discussing the recent decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to reissue permits to the San Diego Wild Animal Park, as well as the zoo in Tampa, Florida, allowing those facilities to import wild African elephants from Swaziland. So clearly here at Talking Animals, we're trying to hit a broad array of guests, a varied mix spanning all corners of the animal world. And continuing in that vein, we're delighted today to bring an interview with Chris DeRose, founder of Last Chance for Animals, discussing the plight of circus animals against the backdrop of the current Southern California stints by Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus. Of course, there's been a number of protests staged at the venues where Ringling Brothers has been performing, including Saturday at the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim. I was there handing out info and posted at a good or bad, depending on your point of view, vantage point to see the animals. And we'll have more about all of that in a few minutes when we're joined by Chris DeRose for a conversation about circuses, circus animals, and these very sorts of protests. Meanwhile, Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topics you'd care to discuss, announcements, observations, and of course, any comments you have about Ringling Brothers and other circuses that use animals. So the phone number to join us is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, or international stories of note that seem important to spotlight and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar if you haven't already done so. Also, if there are ever news stories or announcement you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us such items at talkinganimals@aol.com. I'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topics that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And over time, eventually there will be a Talking Animals website with all kinds of wonderful informative features and archives of the show and other links, tidbits, treats, etc. So that's coming up. That's down the road, but coming up. So. Meanwhile, let's talk turkey, as it were. Here are at least some announcements, as well as some animal stories that have been in the news lately that I hope we can talk about. First of all, just as often the case, I want to start off with Tiger Rescue, the facility out in Colton. Some of you know the story, some of you don't. But essentially, it was a facility for a number of years for, ostensibly, I guess, for retired tigers and other animals that were used in film, TV. The real story is much longer, much more complicated, and again, we're going to have that be a focus of an upcoming edition of Talking Animals, maybe as soon as next week. But at any rate, the animals and the facility were all pretty seriously neglected. The proprietors now facing many, many, many criminal charges. But in the interim, the animals are still there and need to be looked after, fed, cleaned, watered, etc. So, a wonderful man named Chuck Tracy, who otherwise holds forth at the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona, but for more than 2 months now has been at Tiger Rescue, overseeing the kind of day-to-day operation and care of these animals, which is otherwise done by sort of a battalion of volunteers who come from all over, San Diego, Ventura, L.A., Costa Mesa, all parts in between and beyond, I'm sure. So I really would like to urge you, I mean, the good news is with some of the legal proceedings, they are now in a position to move the animals to various better homes. Some they found, some they're still working on. But they still very much need day-to-day, and especially weekdays, volunteers to head out to Colton, clean up, help water the animals, feed them, look after them. And it's not easy work. And it's, of course, warm out there these days. It's sort of out by Ontario, San Bernardino, basically, in broad strokes. But it's absolutely satisfying and really almost, you know, sort of exhilarating work, too. So when the time you're done, you are dirty, but you feel great, and you've done some good stuff for animals. So please email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com if you think you could go out and help out at Tiger Rescue. Meanwhile, sort of on a related note, Chuck and Cindy Tracy's, again, other organization, when they're not holed up and totally involved with the Tiger Rescue ongoing operation. Again, it's the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center operated by Fund for Animals, and it's in Ramona. And they are doing a golf tournament sort of fundraiser coming up on August 8th. And it's Fund for Animals is a not-for-profit animal welfare organization located in Ramona. The fund is dedicated to caring for ill, injured, abused, and confiscated animals, mammals, and birds. The facility is home to many wild animals which cannot be released back to nature. Presently, the fund is home to an African lion, pygmy hippopotamus, 7 Siberian tigers, numerous bobcats, an Asian leopard cat, and a young grizzly bear, and 2 cougars. This tournament is a fundraiser to facilitate the construction of enclosures for some of these animals. So, even if you don't play golf, even if you're not available that day, pop a check in the mail. All right, that's a good thing to do. And again, these are good folks trying hard, not just at their facility, but again, you know, others in need. And some of those tigers, of course, were taken from Tiger Rescue and/or the proprietor's home. Cubs to be nursed around the clock, etc. So, anyways, if you could just pop a check in the mail. Golf or no golf, to the Fund for Animals, 18740 Highland Valley Road in Ramona, California, 92065. Any questions about this, there's a man you can call, Jim Munsterman, at area code 760-789-9999. And the deadlines are for entries on this are coming up. It's August 1st. But again, whether or not you can play, just send them some dough, will you? All right, thanks. All right, much more imminently, the Much Love Animal Rescue is hosting its second annual comedy charity event at Hollywood's Laugh Factory, and that is tomorrow night, July 29th, and that's at the Laugh Factory on Sunset Boulevard, and there'll, of course, be lots of comedy, a silent auction to help raise funds to establish a Much Love Animal Rescue permanent no-kill facility, and this year's comedians will include a Kathy Griffin, Andy Richter, you might remember from the Conan O'Brien show as well as his own show, Bob Saget, of course, Kevin Nealon, who will also be a future guest on Talking Animals, it appears, and Hal Sparks, and Jonathan Silverman, and other comedians even yet to be announced. So that's tomorrow night at the Laugh Factory, July 29th. You can check out, get more info on tickets, etc., by going to Much Love's website, muchlove.org. And let's see, a couple other events here. Dogs Night Out, Twilight Pet Walk, benefiting Pet Orphans Fund. That's co-hosted by Channel 7's Garth Kemp and Mad TV's Deborah Wilson. 3 walking courses, smartest pet trick contest, music, box dinners, etc. So registration's at 4, the walk is at 6, 25 entry fee, $25 with pre-registration, 30 at the event. And that's at the Veterans Park in Sylmar, again on Saturday, August 2nd, coming up this Saturday. Again, information and more information there can be found at their website, Pet Orphans Fund, all one word, no punctuation, .org, petorphansfund.org. And also, along the lines of comedy-related events, also doing good works for animals or animal organizations, on Sunday, August 10th, around 5:30 p.m. at the Ponte Winery, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, there's going to be an event called Comedy in the Vineyards with three comics, Ian Bagg, Dan Lewis, Tom Ryan, whose credits include appearances on The Jay Leno Show, David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, at Comedy Central. And so it'll be a nice evening at the Vineyard. There's a box dinner. There's comedy, obviously, and all kinds of other cool things. So, and, of course, all the proceeds from this benefit the Baja Animal Sanctuary just over the border in Rosarito. And coincidentally, we're going to have the founder of Baja Animal Sanctuary, Sonny Benedict, on the show sometime very soon, we hope, we expect. So you can get more information about this at area code 909-587-6611. And again, as with any of these, you can also email talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we can also fill you in on any details that you want to double check or that you might have missed. Don't go away. Be right back. Okay, a couple more quick things we might shorten or come back to the animal news, because we do have our guest today, Chris Rose, holding on the line. We don't want to have him holding any longer than necessary. So just one other quick thing, because this also ties into a future guest, perhaps as soon as next week as well, on Talking Animals, on the expanded version of Talking Animals. Kirk Olson, a wonderful singer-songwriter, who recently released an entire CD of dog songs, and that's indeed what it's called, but it's all about dogs, about his dogs, other dogs, sometimes written from the point of view of dogs. And anyways, we have a couple of those that we might even give away on Name That Animal Tune today and over the next couple of weeks. But at any rate, he's going to be giving a public performance down in the Carlsbad area. If you're anywhere near San Diego area, it's the Saturday, August 2nd. It's coming Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2. And bring your dogs, of course, and your beach chairs, and it's free, and it's part of the summer concert series at the Carlsbad Village Fair, which is at the corner of Carlsbad Village Drive and the Coast Highway. So, again, any questions on that, you can email us here at talkinganimals@AOL.com, but I may come back to some things if we have time, but I do want to jump right into our interview today with Chris DeRose, and so we will hopefully come back to the news and the comedy corner and some of the other cool things. But earlier in the show, I did mention a bit about today's guest, Chris DeRose, and before we speak, let me just say that he founded the animal rights organization Last Chance for Animals nearly 20 years ago, and over that time, LCA has pursued a number of investigations, protests, and direct actions, and effected significant change along the way. Key ongoing concern is the plight of circus animals, especially timely topic with the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus returning to Southern California for a number of shows, including earlier stints in L.A. and Long Beach. And Ringling Brothers is currently holding forth right now through, I guess, August 3rd or thereabouts at the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim, right here in good old Orange County, and then moving from there down to the San Diego Sports Arena, I believe. So Last Chance for Animals organized protests at each of those stops, so we have much to talk about. So let's Chris?
Hey, Duncan, how are you?
Hi, let's welcome Chris DeRose to Talking Animals. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So we have much to talk about and a short period of time to do it, but still, just for a little context before we jump into the whole issue of circus animals, maybe you could just kind of briefly give us a little overview of Last Chance for Animals.
Yeah, Last Chance for Animals, basically, we're an animal rights, animal protection organization. We're national, international in many countries, too. As a matter of fact, my book is going to be coming out in Italy and Italian.
So, and what's that book called?
In Your Face.
Okay.
And the subtitle is From Actor to Animal Activist.
Wow.
As you know, I was an actor before.
Sure.
But the important thing is I wrote it. It's just basically showing you, taking you places where you were never meant to go, not allowed to go, through my eyes, through my experiences. And I've taken you to these research facilities, Class B dealer camps, where they steal your companion animal. They could have, any one of these places could have up to 1,000 animals easily, dogs alone.
And they take them and then they sell them.
They sell them, yeah. And the conditions in there are so deplorable, I can't even tell you. Mm. And we have led the fight in this for the last 17 years. And as a matter of fact, I think we're basically the only organization in the country that does fight against the Class B dealers the way we fight them. We do investigations, infiltration, we do all that. So we put the first people in this country ever to go to state prison for any animal issue. We assisted in putting two other people in federal prison.
And when was that, Chris? And what specifically was the crime that they were...
In the 90s. Mm-hmm. The first one we did, they were Class B dealers in Southern California. We put them... those people got a total of 14 years in prison for basically taking people's pets from free to good home ads. You got to be really careful with those free to good home ads, and then turn around and they sell them for experiments to laboratories like Cedars-Sinai and the VA and Loma mm-hmm. Linda and City of Hope, UCLA, all the major facilities, major hospitals, major universities all use these animals.
Wow. All right. Well, I hope we can have you back on, you know, well, a number of times, but to talk about more about that and about the book and some of the other things. But I guess at the moment...
circuses.
Yes, absolutely. The moment, the topic of the moment, I guess. So,
yeah.
And there have been a number of protests, obviously, including Saturday. I'm still haunted by... I just happened to be posted where I had good proximity to see all the animals. Still haunted by the swaying, nonstop swaying elephant. Anyways, maybe you could tell us a little bit, Chris, about, you know, what life for a circus animal is like, and therefore why people are discouraging people from...
Well, first of all, you just made a comment. You saw the elephant there swaying. Mm-hmm. You know, in its natural habitat, that's something you don't see. That's a form of stress, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
These animals, it's just like what happens to these animals is the same as if you got a child and you're beating it all the time to make it listen to you, to make it do what you want it to do. And that's exactly what they do with these animals. And I have a brochure in front of me, which is really very funny because... You know,
is it called Caring for Animals by any chance?
I'm sorry?
Is it called Caring for Animals by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Yes, please, read some select... I found it quite fascinating over the weekend.
You know what? They should. Ringling Brothers should be absolutely ashamed to put something like this out there.
Yeah.
It's nothing but a bunch of lies and misconceptions.
Well, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about, like, the alleged intent of the brochure, maybe, if you have any particular sections that leap out at you from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got this whole damn thing marked up.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey has been caring for animals for more than 130 years. There's nothing further from the truth. These animals are used to make money for the circus. They are, and they talk about families like yours to learn more about people and animals from around the world. You're not learning anything. What are you learning about? The captivity of animals? The domination of animals? Look, Duncan, these animals are beaten routinely. They're kept on chain. The elephants are kept chained 20-some-odd hours a day. And you're talking about preserving these animals from extinction. The reason they're becoming extinct is because they are taken and they're killed. For a couple of reasons. One, obviously, we know the poaching. But the next big reason after that is because they kill the mother, the father, the other one. They take the babies,
mm-hmm.
and the babies are shipped off to be sold to circuses around the world.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. They talk about 50,000 Asian elephants remaining on the earth, and I go on their website, and then it says there's 35,000 in the wilds. That means there's 15,000 in captivity. They're admitting 1/3 of the elephants that are in captivity, and it's not because they're bred in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
In all their time, only 12 elephants have ever been bred in captivity, and so they can't attribute it that these elephants are born in captivity. There's only 12 out of 15,000 are.
Mm.
And that's not counting how many they've had to kill in order to take the babies. They don't take full-grown elephants out of the wild. There's no way they can do that.
Yeah.
They go ahead and they take They kill the moms, the dads, their whole families, and then they take the babies and they ship the babies here. And a lot of those babies die in transportation, die of depression. What they do is sickening. And another one of the things, as they say here, is training and handling of all our animals is based on constant contact, daily routines, and nurturing. That's a joke. Nurturing is a joke.
Yeah.
Standing on their heads, you know, they are showcasing their physical abilities, but to stand on their heads, elephants don't stand on their heads in the wilds and roll around on beach balls.
Yeah, well, one thing I found amusing along those lines is even in their own document on the panel that's headlined Center for Elephant Conservation, and again, touting all the good work they've done for elephants, one of the two pictures has an elephant with a red ball curled up in its trunk, like as if that happens either in the wild or as part of their conservation efforts. I mean, they don't get it to that degree, apparently.
Right. And yeah. Then you see a little baby elephant rolling around on a beach ball.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Then you got and it's not just elephants. I mean, all the other animals, too. Let's face it. You see bears out there wearing hoop skirts. I have never, in all my years of being out in the wild, seen one bear wearing a hoop skirt. And then lions jumping through something that they absolutely fear, fire. Through hoops of fire. The bear is walking around on beach balls. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a joke, and this is called entertainment, and they say that they're educating people. You know, you take your child to a circus, you miseducate your child. You give them the wrong impression of what a circus is all about.
Sure. Well, and what else, Chris, should people know? I mean, you know, that's just even what you see when you go to the circus, but behind the scenes, there's
right.
The care, the transportation, you know, you've already touched on the training, but I mean, there's just any number of indignities and worse that these animals seem to.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. It's not what you see that's so deplorable, even though it is, when you think about it, it is pretty demeaning and disgusting to see animals doing these silly, ridiculous tricks to entertain people. But it's what you don't see. That's the beatings. That's the electric shocks. That's the food deprivation. That's the domination. These wild animals do not do these things without being totally dominated. And the way to do that is to beat them, electric shocks. And then they say that they use it by reinforcement and nurturing and all that. That is such a lie. It's such a lie. You know, ultimately, maybe they'll give them treats or something. But in order to break their spirit, they have to use beatings and everything. We have it on tape. It's not something we make up.
I was just
going to
say, let's just, for the sake of discussion, let me just play devil's advocate and say, well, how do you know that? Is there any way you could document that?
Yeah, we've had one of our investigators at Last Chance for Animals in the Special Investigations Unit. He's infiltrated into the circus and spent years with the circus. There is video of them taking the elephants and beating them, and the guy saying, "You take him and you beat them," and using so much profanity, "and you make them fear you. You make them. You hurt him. You hurt this elephant. You hear me? Or you don't come into this tent." And I mean, just saying things with such intensity. We have it on film. We didn't make this up. And that happened to be another circus, but Ringling Brothers used the same techniques. When people are out there looking and you see something on TV and you see the guy walking along an elephant and he's got a baton in his hand, well, first place, that baton is very heavy and it has one of the sharpest hooks on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's solid brass. And when they pull them, you'll notice they pull under their mouth, behind their ears, underneath their the elephant's arm. And that ankus, that hook, that bull hook, is used in very sensitive areas to control the animal.
By supplying pain, basically.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Sure.
And let me tell you, that thing hurts. If I put it on your finger, just let the weight of it hang there. That thing, in many cases, depending on the hook, will cut your finger. That's how heavy it is. That's how sharp it is.
Mm.
And you'll see these guys beating the elephant with it. You'll see them hooking and then pulling. On some of the video just recently that we got a few months ago, one of our other people I was able to obtain, the hook got stuck inside the mouth of the elephant. And these elephants, and you know, we think, well, they got real thick skin. Their skin is very, very sensitive. When there's a bug on their back, they could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're constantly throwing dust over them in the jungles. But, you know, in captivity, they can't even do that. They're tied up. They're locked, you know. They're transported in these trains. It's just like what the Nazis did to people by packing them into these cars. And they travel for days on end in these cars. And then they're taken out. And you can see we have a new video, again, just recently, within a matter of weeks, where days, where the elephant is going up the ramp, and it was afraid to go, and it slipped off. And then they're still pushing it to get up on there.
Mm.
Pathetic.
Well, okay, so that's probably enough specifics for one one morning. I mean, just it's, and but I know they're endless. That's the but what I guess another question from there then is, you know, why isn't it better? Why, I mean, some of the questions even that came up you know, Saturday with people that were genuinely interested and didn't know that this was the kind of world that these animals live in when they're circus animals. I mean, what can be done? Is there just not any kind of effective legislation in place, or what do you recommend to try to help this problem, Chris?
The best thing is do not go to circuses that use animals. You have some amazing circuses like the Cirque du Soleil. I mean, you want to see people entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about some of the most brilliant stuff I have ever seen.
Sure.
And what their physical bodies can do is absolutely amazing. And there are many circuses that do not use animals, certainly wild animals.
Right.
And I would say go to those circuses. Let your children be entertained by people doing stuff that they've trained very hard for and it worked very hard to make happen, not by beatings and not by fear and not by domination. It is important that people do not partake in this. Also, another tactic I've noticed they started this year, and it's I noticed that they've taken fraternity guys and sorority ladies from the university, like at USC, the first one that I participated in, and they're having them, you know, they're nice, young, clean-cut people, and not the circus, typical circus-looking people. And here they are out there handing these out, these brochures, and they had no idea what's really going on. We talked to a couple of them. The one guy actually stopped once he saw and was told what we was doing. He was with Phi Beta Kappa, one of those fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
And he was handing it out. And he was a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this was something that their fraternity made a pledge to do because they think they were doing a community service.
Oh, wow.
I said,
yeah.
You're doing a community disservice.
Yeah.
You're not educating people. You're miseducating people. And once he got that, he just turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
And I really stress to people, you know, students, do not partake in this brutality. And again, it's not something we're making up. If you really don't care about them, you dislike animals, and you're into hurting them, then go ahead and support it.
Okay, yeah. But short of that, yeah, that scenario. And again, like you say, you're not anti-circus by any means, and just anti-circuses that use animals.
And that's right.
There's a good handful, and really more than that, that are fabulous circuses. So, but I guess really just the example you gave about the fraternity folks there, there's just such a long way to go on educating people about really, you know, what does go on at those kinds of circuses. And is there anything else that can be done? Okay, don't patronize those if you know enough not to go. But what else can people do, or what else can we do just collectively to help with this?
There are a lot of things. In each, you see, they have to get permission from each city, from each district that they're going in. You can go in. There's so many cities now that have banned the circus. So many towns that have banned the circus with wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the danger factor, by the way.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you have to remember, you're talking about wild animals that can kill a human in a second. And yet, you're mixing up these wild animals with children and people, and there's really almost no buffer zone. We remember the thing in Honolulu less than 10 years ago, 9 years ago, where the elephant tyke broke loose and killed a couple people, trampled a few other people, but he went specifically after the people who were beating him. There were children that were in the way and everything, and they didn't. But one day, one of these lions, one of these tigers, one of these elephants is going to kill some children. And I think, unfortunately, that's when you're going to see the time when there's going to be some serious changes.
And really, it sounds like, by extension, not probably any significant change until such a horrible incident takes place.
The change is coming about slowly anyway, right, because it is going city by city, but your wonderful federal government does not allow, just banning something. And
right,
I understand that,
sure,
for freedom and reasons and all that. But you know what? They should look into what it is that they're allowing to go on.
Yeah.
We don't allow children to be beaten. We don't allow child pornography. We don't allow a lot of things. This should not be allowed, if for no other reason, the danger factor. And I promise you, Duncan, it's a time bomb waiting to go off. One day, we will hear of several children being killed, and then we're all going to say, whoa, what happened?
Why didn't we do something back then?
Why didn't we do something? There was an incident in Florida. I interviewed the guy when I was working with Hard Copy on animal issues and Current Affair and Inside Edition. I interviewed a guy, a cop, Lane Doyle. He had to shoot the elephant that had four children up on the top. He has been an advocate for stopping wild animals in circuses ever since, because he did not blame the elephant. He managed to get the children off there. And there were four kids up there, and the mother of one of the kids. So there were five people up there. If those kids would have died, that would have been the end of it. But that's what it's going to take, I'm afraid.
Wow.
That is pretty damn sad.
That really is. Oh, jeez. All right. Well, jeez, Chris, we're just about out of time. I don't know if there's any sort of final word or parting shot, or if at the very least, how can people sort of track this information? Your website is www.lcanimal.org. What else could they use to kind of keep tabs or be more more informed?
That's one of the major things, and just follow where the circus is going. Mm-hmm. You hear that there's going to be a demonstration. Be a part of it. But mostly, go into your community where the circus is coming and start lobbying your city council or your council members and your mayor, and start telling them you don't want this. It's dangerous. It's not safe for. It's not a safe place to go. And of course, boycott the circus. Don't go. Talk to other people about it. And it's the only way we could ever stop these animals from being brutalized like they are. And I've seen it firsthand. I mean, I've grabbed the guy's arm that had an ankus at the Ringling Brothers Circus about 8 or 9 years ago. And I did all I could from letting him feel a little bit of that pain. I so badly wanted to do it, and I didn't do it.
Wow.
But I wanted him to feel just what that elephant's feeling when he was doing that.
Sure.
Also, keep in mind that the lions and the tigers that are in these small cages, I mean, they barely could turn around. This is not the place to put a wild animal in a tiny, small cage like that. I mean, these animals hunt. They stalk. They take down their prey. And here they are locked up. I mean, it's almost despicable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how the human mind could even come up with ideas of doing things like this to animals.
Yeah, well, gradually, thanks to people like you and organizations like LCA, we're getting there, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all your efforts, Chris, and I appreciate you joining us today on Talking Animals.
Duncan, thank you for getting it out there.
Absolutely. Thanks again for your time, and we'll hopefully have you again and talk about all kinds of other issues as well.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Take
Bye-bye.
Care now. Bye-bye. All right, Chris DeRose from Last Chance for Animals here on Talking Animals. And I just want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And I'm going to shift things around now, and where we usually do the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, the early part of the show, we're going to jump in now. This is, of course, animal piece related piece of comedy from Bill Engvall on KUCI.
See, I think we just try to figure out too much about animals. We should just leave them alone. I'll give you a great example. In the California desert, they found bones of a prehistoric porpoise. And they're saying it's interesting because this porpoise's upper jaw sticks out a lot further than his lower jaw. So I figure he's got to look like... And they're already trying to figure out if this upper jaw was used for, like, mating or catching fish. I'm thinking, what if it's just a goofy-looking fish? You know, like a dork fish. He's like, old as ain't the ocean. Woo! I better find me some water. Because can you imagine if you were fishing and you caught a dork fish? Because you know your friends would be like, hey, man, what kind of fish is that? You'd be like, oh, nothing. Because you know that fish will stick his head out of that bucket. I'm a dork fish. He caught me on a corn dog. I was swimming underneath the ocean, and I said, what's the corn dog doing underneath the ocean? But you know me, boy. I love them damn corn dog, boy. Woo! I saw that bad boy. I bit it. Boom, I was in the boat. That's the last thing I know. Be pretty cool if they sold them in pet stores. Because you know they say pets always look like their owners? It's like you go over to your friend's house. Hey, Buford. What kind of fish is this? Dart fish? I'm just fixing to feed him. What do you feed a dork fish? Corn dog? Boy, they just gobble them up. But you gotta take that stick out. They'll eat that stick.
You're listening to Talking Animals.
I'll tell you another true animal.
On KUCI 88.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at www.kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Bill Engvall with his piece, Dorkfish, from his album of the very same name. And anyway, the Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. Last week we played Brian Regan's wonderful bit, Flipper, and Gentle Ben. We've also heard a portion of Jerry Seinfeld's hilarious take on horses, Steve Martin's Cat Handcuffs, Bill Cosby's Piece of Dogs, Woody Allen's classic, The Moose, bit from Ellen DeGeneres called Cat in Heat, etc. If you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature in the Comedy Corner, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And again, if you have any calls about anything, conversation with Chris DeRose, circus animals, other tidbits, anything that's on your mind animal-related, give us a call right now at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And otherwise, we're also going to step into another one of our weekly features and called Name That Animal Tune, which is remarkably, really, like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this version, tunes are always animal-related, of course. Usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a little bit more indirect than that. And either way, like any version of this game, it can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble behind us, but also noting that there'll always be a prize. Did he say prize? Yes, he did. For the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist, as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824. Again, 949-UCI-KUCI. So let's get started on it's Talking Animals on KUCI. All right, well, that's about all she wrote. I think that's plenty down the road of the tune in question. But anyways, going to also see if we can pick up just a couple of the tidbits where we left off and from before when we were speaking with Chris. And you know, I had mentioned that there was a performance by Kirk Olson, who will be a guest again, probably as soon as next week. We have 2 hours next week. That's an expanded version of Talking Animals from 8 to 10. And so I believe one of our guests will be Kirk Olson, talking all about music, dog songs, inspiration thereof. But again, he's giving a public performance, which he doesn't have a chance to do that often. So that's this coming Saturday, August 2nd, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. It's part of the summer concert series, the Carlsbad Village Fair. And again, any questions on that or any other news or announcements that we had, you can call us now if you would like to talk about them on the air, and or email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And, well, let's see, I think another thing that caught my eye in animal news recently, I think it was probably the middle of last week, LA Times, among others, carried this story, but... It's sort of a interesting controversy dispute really that's developed about the sort of trying to assess the whale population in the North Atlantic. And this part of the key factor sort of where people are at odds is that the population figures are important because there's no whaling, even if people could otherwise get it pushed through, until they reach sort of half of their pre-hunting levels. But what seems to be in dispute is what those pre-hunting levels were. In fact, the hold on one sec. Looks like we may have KUCI.
Hi, I was calling to identify the song.
Cool. Well, that's very exciting, and let's have your guess.
Werewolves of London.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. And do you know who it was by?
I want to say Steppenwolf.
Well, that's another animal reference. Not accurate, in fact, but it's actually Warren Zevon. But but getting the song is really the key part of the contest.
Okay.
So what's your name?
Laura.
Laura. Okay, Laura. Well, let me reach back for my cool little bag of goodies, because there are, you know, it wasn't Whistling Dixie. There actually is a prize. So hold on one sec. Let me go through a few. Do you have any animals that live with you, Laura?
I do. I have 3 cats currently.
Okay. Well, here's a few possibilities then, that with that in mind. I have a pet hair pickup, like one of those kind of cool rollers that takes up animal hair from
off things. Your clothes.
Yeah, and furniture and stuff. I've got some cat toys. I've got another thing. It's not really cat related, but I've been mentioning earlier about this singer-songwriter Kirk Olsen.
Yeah.
He has a whole CD of dog songs, and that's one of our prizes today that people could choose from. If you'd like, I can send you one of those.
I would love to have that, because
okay.
I live in San Diego, and I'm happy to hear that he's going to be playing out in Carlsbad, so I was going to go try to hear him on Saturday.
Oh, that's great. So I take it you're listening through the internet then.
Yeah, this is my first time I'm listening, and it was I belong to San Diego Animal Advocates, and so it was in an email from someone about your show.
Oh, probably from Jane, yeah, because she was on with us last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we interviewed her last week. Unfortunately, we had a little internet difficulty here at the station, so it wasn't able to be aired as widely as we would have liked. But, yeah, she was great, and she's been very supportive and helpful to the show already, and we're fairly new. But that's fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Laura, if you could just email talkinganimals@aol.com with your address, that'll get to me, of course, and then I will pop this this CD. But yeah, it's really neat CD. It's got, I think 10 or 12 songs. I don't have it right in front of me at the moment. In fact, it's already all boxed up. Kirk was nice enough to actually send it in a little box ready to ship out. But it's really fun. And it's, like I say, it's all about dogs and about his dogs, other dogs, and point of view of dogs. And it's pretty fun. And he recorded it down in Austin. But we're going to have him on, I think, next week, so you can not only see him this Saturday, but hopefully hear him. We're doing a 2-hour version of Talking Animals to help fill in for someone who's normally here from 8 to 9 next week. So one of our guests in that hour will be Kirk, and you'll be steeped in Kirk Olsen and dog songs. Absolutely.
Well, I love it. I mean, dogs, who doesn't love dogs?
For sure. Right.
I'm ready to hear a bunch of songs about them.
Cool. Well, that's you'll get that in the mail shortly. And again, then it sounds like you're going to be able to catch Kirk's performance down there this Saturday as well. So that's really cool.
Are you going to be down here?
I don't think I'll be able to, just because there's another event sort of animal related going on in the other north of us. This sort of big animal rights 03 thing. So I'm going to try to
the week-long event.
Well, yeah, I don't know how much of it I'll be able to catch, but I'm hoping to catch some of the weekend part of it. So that's why, unfortunately, I won't be able to get down and see Kirk myself. But I'm glad you'll be there.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you tuned in to Talking Animals and called in and won. And named that animal tune, no less. So
yeah, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Enjoy your show so far, and so I'll keep listening.
Great. Well, we're excited about that. Appreciate it. And, keep listening, and you'll get your dog songs in the mail very shortly.
Thank you, and
thanks.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, Laura, listening from San Diego to Talking Animals, and the winner of this week's Name That Animal Tune, but it's pretty cool. She got a prize for getting a CD. She's going to go see the guy, see how it all works. Beautiful. So we're sort of in the home stretch, really, of Talking Animals for this week. But again, if there's any other comments people have, can not only call them in our remaining time on the air, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, or again, we happy to get emails, your thoughts, your comments, suggestions of guests, suggestions of animal songs, suggestions of animal-related comedy, all can be sent to talkinganimals at AOL.com, and also want to remind you again that any opinions, views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents, and do want to urge you to tune in next week, where again we'll be doing a sort of expanded version, unusually, but usually it's 9 to 10, but next week we're going to be able to go 8 to 10, filling in for Serena Sharp, who will be taking a cool road trip and vacation. So hope you'll join us for one or both of those hours, and again, please feel free to keep in touch with us by email, by phone. I also like to ask you to stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease coming up shortly on KUCI. And we're going to close things out with of course, an animal-related song. And it's by the Chieftains. And this is Tennessee Stud. It's KUCI 88.9 FM. I'm Duncan Strauss. We'll see you next week. From 8 to 10, actually, on Talk Animals. And thanks again for joining us. See you then. Bye-bye.
Tennessee Stud.